Hello, everybody, and welcome to the first episode of a new series on the pod, or the Blue Bay podcast, a new name. This series will be a series basically while I'm in self-isolation, soon to be pretty much, I'd say, you know, we're 2 weeks away, and I'd say we'll be, at the very most, 2 weeks. We're all going to be stuck inside our houses. But that's not the point today. I'm going to try and avoid coronavirus completely. But while I am stuck in my house, for the most part, I will be discussing the some of the historical matches Chelsea have played in the past 2 years. So you look at the games we've had against Bayern Munich in the Champions League final, against Barcelona, against... we've actually not played Real Madrid for 22 years, which I only found out a couple of days ago. You look at the game we had against Napoli back in the Champions League. The year we won the Champions League, the games we've had against numerous sides, not just the Champions League, the FA Cup, the Premier League, not even just Chelsea. I could even go on to discussing, say, the Tottenham Man City game, the like last year, the 4-4, was it 4-3? It was 4-4 in aggregate. It was a 4-3 game in at the Etihad, though. But today it will be the first episode of this series where basically I'll go through some historical games Chelsea have had from the past. I could even go beyond Roman Abramovich's era and possibly go to the kind of 1998 year where we did win our first European trophy. And where we beat Real Madrid in the final. That was the... Yeah, I think we beat Real Madrid in the final. Or at least we played Real Madrid on the way to the UEFA Cup final. Today, there will be two sections of the podcast. There will be the first section where I go through the Chelsea 4-2 victory over Barcelona in 2005 in the round of 16 second leg, where we possibly would have had one of the best Chelsea teams in quite a while. And we had one of the best games ever. It was a really exhilarating game. Another game I watched, I started following Chelsea properly in 2009. Like, that's when I became a Chelsea fan. But obviously I will be still looking at the game, kind of like looking at it and getting, like, obviously being able to watch your supporters, an incredible team. But as well, I'll also be talking through, I believe I'll get the correct amount here, several kind of like news-worthy, say, news reports, kind of like, such as, I'll give you there's four of them. Three of them are transfer related into the club. One of them is an outgoing. That's the most of them. It's Pedro, Declan Rice, Chilwell, Lautaro Martinez. Basically, a couple news reports going around that I just want to talk about. Of course, the Declan Rice bit's going to be a bit of a interesting one. As, of course, I am Irish, Declan Rice did sort of flip-flap and join the English national team after playing for Ireland several times. But I don't want to... That's for later. That's the second section. For now, I'm going to be starting off with the 2004-2005 round of 16 home leg, the second leg of a Champions League game. We played against FC Barcelona. We were down 2-1 after the first leg. And it was an absolutely high-intensity, high pressure game for Chelsea, probably the best Chelsea team ever, who achieved 95 points, sorry, that season. Hope you enjoy. So I am going to start off by giving some background to this game. It's 2004, 2005, second season of Abramovich at Chelsea, having bought the club in 2003. A highly expensive squad put together by Chelsea, assembled under the reign of a young 42, 43 year old, I think he was back then, a cheeky, intelligent Jose Mourinho, one of the hottest prospects of managerial talent. He had just won the Champions League with Porto the previous season. This was a big, big, big pickup from Chelsea. The team took the Premier League by storm, winning by 12 points against what had previously, this previous season, been an invincible Arsenal team that got around high 80s, low 90s. I don't think they got as much. I mean, this was the record. This was the record. The 95 point record stood until 2018, when Manchester City broke it. We lost one game. We conceded 15 goals all season. That was a goal conceded every 2.5 games. We scored 72 goals in the process, 1.9 goals per game, and won the league by 12 points, as I had said. In this game, Chelsea, though this is early in the season, we had not yet won the league. We had not yet conceded only 15 goals in total in the entire season. We were still midway of the season, kind of 60% of the season was finished. But now we had a big challenge. We had just lost 2-1 at the Nou Camp in the first leg of the Champions League round of 16 fixture against Barcelona. Barca's goals came from Maxi Lopez and future Chelsea player Samoletto. Our goal also came from a future Chelsea player, as it was an own goal from Giuliano Belletti, who joined the club in 2006-2007. Around then, he joined the club. It's a big game, obviously, for Jose Mourinho. This was his old club. Jose Mourinho had been at Barcelona as Bobby Robson and Louis van Gaal's kind of assistant. He was a part of the coaching staff there. Initially translated, kind of turned into one of the most highly thought of coaches in the world. And with now he had the opportunity. He had the opportunity now to beat Barcelona and to hope what would have been very important, justify the spending, justify the massive amount he spent on your Drogbas, on your Robins, your Cheks, your Carvalhos, your Ferreras, your Thiagos, your Kesmans. We signed a lot of players that summer for a lot of money. That was 2004. Back in 2003, we signed Duff. We signed Makalele. We signed a lot of other good players that summer as well, like your Crespos. Crespo wasn't part of the team, though. Neither was Veron. A couple of other big spending. But this team had the opportunity to really prove to the world they were not Hollywood FC, that we were an actual club. Because we were like Paris Saint-Germain back then. We really just took the league by storm with our financial power. We were an absolute powerhouse. But I'm not going to waste no time and move on to the starting 11s. So Chelsea did have a slight problem going into this game. We had to change formation because we had, first off, no Drogba, and second off, no Iron Robin. And back then, Iron Robin was one of the best players in the Premier League, one of the best dribblers in the Premier League. Incredible. He was a really good dribbler. But the team Chelsea did start off with was in a 4-4-1-1. With Cech in goal, John Terry, the captain at centre-back, with Ricardo Carvalho, probably the best centre-back partnership to ever play in the Premier League, in my opinion. Of course, I haven't watched Vidic and Ferdinand. That will be something maybe I'll do if I review some further games where Manchester United and Chelsea play. But right back, Paulo Ferreira, who costed £30 million that summer, as did Carvalho. I think it was around, Carvalho was £30 million, but he was a big talent at the time. His last ditch tackles from behind were like Kovacic today. The way we played Kovacic today for his last ditch tackles, where he gets kind of from, managed to slide tackle them from behind, Carvalho did this constantly. Ferreira, I think he cost us 20, 30 million as well. We had William Gallas, another, along with John Terry, player who was before the Baromich era. He was playing left back this night. Of course, he, at the time, was highly rated, well thought of in the club. And he did kind of really piss the club off by threatening to score on goals about he would have been threatening to do that. In midfield two, though, was in Lampard and Makalele. One pre-Baromich player there in Lampard, joined the club for around £11 million, I think it was, in 2001 from West Ham. A big fee that was now back then. That would be like, Chelsea were like Everton kind of back then. We had actually just we competed for the title in 99, but we weren't the most, consistent team. We were a bit of an Everton kind of team, a bit of an Everton Spurs in the early 2010 Spurs kind of team in the early 2000s. This was like them going out and spending 40, 50 million on a player. That was kind of the market value for Lampard back then. Kind of, we did spend a lot on Lampard. Of course, off the left though, we had Duff, who did also cost us a lot of money back in 2003. Back in, he was in Abramovich signing, as was Joe Cole off the right hand side. Two Abramovich signings in the first summer. Kesman played, according to the lineup, centre forward, kind of like a second striker. That's absolute bullshit. He played as a striker. Johnson played as a kind of second striker, extra midfielder in this game when we kind of switched to 4-3-3 a lot. And now it's the Chelsea team. Now on the bench, the subs we did use, I couldn't get the hand on the actual bench. I did get it for the next game I have prepared, which I've watched 60 or so minutes of so far. But away from that, this is the Barcelona game. The subs we used were Glenn Johnson, Marc Youth and Thiago. We had injured or suspended, I couldn't confirm Drogba was injured. He was not available for this game though. Drogba and Robin, both injured or suspended. Robin was injured with an abductor injury, which is what Christian Pulisic currently has. Our coach is Jose Mourinho. Everyone knows that. But Barcelona. So Barcelona started in the 4-3-3 with Eto at striker, Ronaldinho off the left, Iniesta off the right, surprisingly, as he usually played off the left later on in his career. Deco, Xavi and Gerrard in the midfield. Van Bronckhorst, Olaguer, Puyol, Belletti from left to right across the back four. And Victor Valas in goal. So, some obvious names you know there. Your Ronaldinho's, your Xavi's, your Iniesta's, your Edo's, your Puyol's, your Deco's as well. Deco did actually play for Chelsea for 2 years, 2008-2010. And of course, Victor Valas played for Manchester United. I think he was at Manchester United. I don't think if he played though, kind of in the Louis van Gaal era. Of course, Van Bronckhorst, a left back, a very attacking left back, played for Arsenal, I believe, as well. In the midfield, Gerrard, I'd actually never heard of him before this. And everyone knows Ronaldinho. Ronaldinho's one of the best players in the world at the time. Our subs though, Barcelona's subs, not our subs, were Ludovic Gulli, Maxi Lopez and Silvinho. So a left back and two attacking subs there. But now, sorry if you hear any rustling, moving on to kind of giving you a bit of a deep dive in the teams. So this was not a Barcelona to mess with. But they had summer signing, Samuel Eto'o leading the line, who was absolutely lethal. A future Ballon d'Or top three nominees, Iniesta and Xavi in the side. Ronaldinho off the left, the magician, who would actually win the Ballon d'Or for that year, beating Lampard quite convincingly, I remember. I don't know. It wasn't like two or three votes in between, if you get me. Deco and Carles Puyol, two very really good players. Deco was a very good player back then. Carles Puyol was a very, very good defender. But it was not the Barcelona of Guardiola or Luis Enrique's, but it was not the Barcelona today. This was not a team to be messing around with. This was a team that still packed a punch, but we know we knew what they've became 6 or 7 years later, where they were absolutely running riot across Europe. But not today. Not like today, where they have no penetration. They all pass the ball to Messi and hope he does something. Ronaldinho was not carrying this team in this game. That was not a thing I got. But obviously, I want to go quickly through some statistics, obviously, just to kind of give you a background. Xavi scored 3 goals and registered 13 assists that season. Deco, 8 goals and 12 assists. Gulli, 12 goals and 3 assists. Ronaldinho, 13 goals and 16 assists. Eto'o got 29 goals and 7 assists. They had Henrik Larsson, who didn't play this game, who scored 4 goals and 1 assist. He didn't have any key. He adapted, and I think the next season he got like 20 goals and assists. But Iniesta, 2 goals and 5 assists. So obviously there, you've got some players that clearly have a lot of talent, but this is not a team out of the realms of possibility that we beat them. You know, we could very well beat this Barcelona side. This was not, I want to give you an idea, Chelsea back then were absolute giants of Europe. They were becoming giants of Europe, and this was the chance to show the world we were giants of Europe. We were not just messing around, that we weren't only going before in the domestic league, in the Premier League. This was our chance to show we are going to be giants of Europe. Of course, though, Chelsea had your many well-known legends, such as Sir John Terry's, an incredible centre-back. He really impressed me in this game. I really actually saw why so many people really talk so highly about John Terry. I had seen him before, but not with the kind of view I kind of look at football nowadays. I'm kind of like, oh, that's good, that's good. I'm kind of like, oh yeah, we got the ball now, we got the ball now. That's how I would have taught when I used to watch John Terry. I wouldn't have been thinking about it so analytically as I would today. Of course, your Frank Lampard's probably one of the best midfielders in the world back then. He was a very productive midfielder. Like, when you talk about Zidane and Frank Lampard, you're talking about the better footballer and the better midfielder. I would have wanted Zidane on my five-a-side team or my team down the park. Well, Frank Lampard, he was the kind of player. Zidane would maybe try something spectacular. Lampard would just do the job. He would do the job, he'd put the ball in the goal, he'd pick it up, he'd get out. His movement was perfect, always arriving in the time in the bo arriving in the box at the right time. His long shots control was absolutely brilliant. Of course, your Petr Cech as well was dirty in this game. He was one of the world's best goalkeepers back then. He really, really was absolutely spectacular in this game. He won us this tie. Valdez and Cech made some spectacular saves, especially Cech though. Drogba and Robin out, of course. Robin was absolutely influential. He was incredible at dribbling. Back then, he was probably the best winger in the Premier League because Henry played as striker. When he was fit, of course, he was injured. Then he was fit. Then he was injured. That's how he went on Chelsea. Injured, fit, world class, injured, fit, world class, injured, fit, world class. Just, that's how it went. He just never had consistency. His dribbling, ability to change direction extremely quickly. As a dribble, I think he had against Arsenal, where he kind of tucks in and then cuts out again really, really quickly, which I saw in a video once. I think he kind of puts it on his right foot, he kind of cuts it across, then cuts back in again before the ball goes across him. It was really, and he kind of moved from his body. Just that for me was like watching that going, Jesus Christ, he was good back then. He was really good. Of course, we did have Drogba also out. He was the player up front, the side could play off him, they could hit the ball long, they could cross the ball into him, they could create chances off him. Our play style did suffer in this game. Usually we try to hit along to Drogba and work off him. We had to try and play through the midfield a lot more, which is not what you want to do against Barcelona, obviously. Gudjohnsen was a brilliant alternative. Joe Cole, too, a tricky winger who could cause havoc. He was actually very good in this game. Joe Cole was very good. He was the man of the match in this game. Duff, a clinical man of the counter attack, very productive winger. He wasn't the kind of player who would drill past two or three players, but he was the kind of guy when you gave the ball to him, he would put it in the back of the net. Of course, Damien Duff, Irishman, probably one of the best Irish players ever to play for Chelsea. Carvalho, possibly one of the most underrated centre backs in history. He was incredible, incredible speed, incredible last-ditch tackling. Kind of made up for the pace that John Terry didn't have. Kesman, he'd hit a stretch of form, which was good to see. Obviously, he hadn't been the best of players at Chelsea so far, but this was probably the best Chelsea team in history. And despite that, we had a formation change. With Cole out wide, usually he kind of played centrally in a 4-3-3 sometimes. Due to Robin's absence, no focal point to play off with no Drogba, we could still kill any team in the world. We had an absolutely iron defence that just shut down any team in the world. This game even, they had to get an absolute magical goal by Ronaldinho and a penalty that shouldn't have been given back then when the handball rules were different. They had to use them to get past us. Of course, statistics now, I'm going to go through these quickly. Gudjohnsen scored 16 goals and had 10 assists that season. John Terry scored 8 goals, had 8 goals, sorry, and 1 assist. Duff, 10 goals, 13 assists. Drogba, 16 goals and 8 assists. Lampard, 19 goals and 20 assists. He was incredible that year. That was his first kind of 20 goal, around the 20 mark season. He had 15 the previous season, but from then on, I think 2004 to around, I would say 2013 even. He was absolutely incredible at scoring goals. Joe Cole, 9 goals and 6 assists. Robin, 9 goals and 10 assists. Kesson, 7 goals and 2 assists. So we were clearly there missing a good bit in Drogba and Robin. But we had Gudjohnsen still. We had Lampard still. Joe Cole as well. Damien Duff. But that was the, those are the teams, those are the quick kind of round of talking about the teams that we had, the team we had to face and the team that we had. But now gonna move on to the actual game itself, kind of going through chronologically, or reverse chronologically, I don't know. Yeah, reverse chronologically, I think it's a correct term, as in you're going from the future, from the past, sorry, to the present, the kind of that kind of direction, I believe. If it's not, well, you understand, I just explained it to you there. We're going from the first minute to the 90th minute, and hope you do enjoy. So now onto the first half. This should be the first half for this first section of the first section. Straight off the bat, Chelsea were trying to disrupt Barcelona's passing. They were really, really trying to hit Barcelona physically. They were getting physical, they were tackling hard. Barcelona struggled to create much. John Terry dealt with anything that came along. This game truly showed the dominance and brilliance of John Terry, the captain, leader, legend. He was incredible. Nothing get past him. Bob Lombard came in. He get his head to a cross coming. He'd be in the perfect position to clear. However, 8 minutes in, a Barcelona midfielder, I think it was Gerrard or Iniesta, I don't know who it was. But a Barcelona midfielder slips up, trying a Cruyff turn, which is ironic because Johan Cruyff was actually of Barcelona. The ball is quickly snatched up by Lampard in the middle of the park. He sends Kessman in down the right-hand side, through behind the defensive line. However, it's caught up with. We take advantage of Barca's high line, though, here. Kessman peels wide, whips the ball across the box to Gudjonsson. Gudjonsson's first touch cuts him inside. The defender flies past him as his touch is taken, kind of trying to stop himself, can't stop himself. He slides in, kicks the ball over the goalkeeper. Conor Valdez didn't adjust his body correctly. He had his body kind of trying to protect the left-hand side of the goal. And Gudjonsson went for the right-hand side of the goal, if you're looking at the goalkeeper's direction. Brilliant goal. An absolutely incredible touch. Takes the touch, goes inside. Kind of slips a bit, but he gets the ball, gets a kick on it. It goes straight into the goal. Brilliant. 1-0 Chelsea. Absolute brilliant pass by Lampard to set up Kessman. A great cross by Kessman to set up Ida Gudjonsson. And Gudjonsson's cutting inside and finish was just superb. Chelsea, at this point, we were going through and away goals. It was incredible. We had a lightning counter-attack involving three players in a matter of seconds. And we were 1-0 up. 8 minutes in. Absolutely incredible. However, the ball kept going kind of back and forth for quite a long time in the game. Chelsea and Barca were losing before any chance was created. Kessman kept peeling off. The centre-backs trying to stretch the play. He was offside a lot, though, when he ever got the ball. Whenever Lampard got the ball, he kept trying, as I said there, to peel off into the flat, into the channels. And Joe Cole was being tested by Bronckhorst down the right-hand side and was, trust me, Joe Cole killed Van Bronckhorst in the 45 minutes that Van Bronckhorst played. They had to take him off. That's how bad he was. However, 13 minutes in, corner gets scrappy. Terry flicks it through for Lampard, who rockets it over. He absolutely rockets it over from 7 or 8 yards. The last thing you would expect, despite being off balance, was Lampard missing a shot from there. It was so... I thought it was a goal when I first saw it. I thought he had plenty of space and the ball just flies over. It was a bit frustrating to watch. But of course, Chelsea at this point, the tempo begins to pick up. We're beginning to create more chances. We know we got Barcelona on the back foot. They're there for the taking. 14th minute, Gudjonsson chips it over the top to Duff, who was... Everyone thought he was offside. He wasn't offside, though, according to the linesman. There wasn't a VAR back then. Great days. He was in acres of space. He fizzles across the box. He absolutely fizzles it across the box. Along the ground. Nobody gets through. Waste of a chance. It was frustrating. But, obviously, the game continues on. Terry, as I said already, John Terry really impressed me in this game. Constantly intercepting, heading it clear. And it reminds me of just how good he was. However, one observation I made about this was we weren't passing out of the back. We weren't passing out of the back in this game. Jack kept booting it long, which was interesting to see. It was kind of interesting to see, kind of in contrast to the modern game, how the ball went up and down. It wasn't very clean, but it was nice to watch. It was nice to watch. We had some plays where we were absolutely incredible. 17th minute, Pablo Ferreira controls the ball from Valdez's kick out and fires Joe Cole down the right hand side. Cole cuts in as he's approaching the box, leaving Van Bronckhorst behind, and as it goes shooting across the goal from the edge of the box, from after cutting off on the right hand side, the deflections of Barcelona players cause the shot to go near post instead of the far post that Cole was initially aiming for. Already diving towards the shot, shot's initial destination at the left hand side of the goal, Valdez gets a faint hand to it as it comes towards the right hand side. If you're looking in at the goal, not from the goalkeeper's perspective, it's a faint hand in it, on it, enough to keep it out. But in rushes, Frank Lampard, who kicks it in, very similar to Lampard's Champions League final goal versus Manchester United, an incredible late man run into the box by Lampard following the shot, and he got his reward. Chelsea, 18 minutes in, I think it was, yeah, no, 17 minutes in, were 2-0 up. Incredible. Gudjonsson, though, I don't know if you could, this was the point where I kind of saw what Gudjonsson was doing. He was kind of playing as a third midfielder in the right central midfielder position to form a 4-3-3, while Kessman kind of remained forward as a striker, unlike the official lineup said, which was that Gudjonsson was a striker and Kessman was a kind of second striker. However, that's what I saw. That's kind of what, that's how we were playing, sorry. 19 minutes in, Edo tries to flick the ball on behind him. Edo, in the 19th minute, tries to kind of like do a flick on with the back to goal on behind him, but it is cut out by Carvalho, and it's before he can get to him, he kind of slips up. Carvalho fires it across the ground to the feet of Kessman, about 20-30 yard pass, plays it back to, I believe it was Joe Cole, who shoots it forward to play in Damien Duff, who is in acres of space down the left hand side in between the left back, in between the right back and centre back of Barcelona. So that would have been Puyol and who was the right back? Jesus, I should actually know this. Who was the right back for Barcelona? This is embarrassing, but the right back was Belletti. In between Puyol and Belletti, Barcelona had pushed up. There was loads of space for him to run into. He tears straight into it. And as you can guess it, he ducks it in between the legs of Valdez. Beautiful, quick, vertical passing. It was really quick passing. There was a shot fired forward by pass fired forward by Carvalho. Flicks it back to Cole. Kessman flicks it back to Cole. Cole fires it through to Kessman, to Damien Duff, who takes it and finishes it beautifully. A terrible defending from Barcelona. Absolutely terrible. Incredible, absolutely beautiful goal. We used the beautiful quick vertical passing against Barcelona, giving the taste of their own medicine. Duff, so much space, unmarked. Valdez, yet again, he dives the wrong way, like he did for the Gudjonsson goal. Kind of dives to the left-hand side. To his left-hand side, the ball goes in between his legs. As he does that, bloody brilliant. Bloody brilliant. We're now 3-0 up 20 minutes into the game against possibly one of the most famous teams in the world in Barcelona. Goals continuing on. Barcelona do, of course, at this point go, we need to score. So they hit it long. Eto'o receives it on the edge of the box after an incredible pass from Ronaldinho. He controls it. He lets fly. And it's an incredible save fight by Cech to put the ball over the bar off the corner. Off the corner, though, Ronaldinho gets lots of space. And his header only just goes wide of the post. At this point, we're really under pressure. Eto'o has just sent an absolutely beautiful shot at Peter Cech. He cuts in, whacks it, pushed over the bar by Peter Cech. We're under pressure. Then Ronaldinho off the corner, plenty of space, gets a header on it. Thank God it went wide. But Barca, though, they were continuing to kind of try to go along. To go along to Eto'o, but every single time, Terry kicked, heads clear, and nothing comes through. Barca were beginning, though, you could kind of tend to feel they were beginning to get more of a hold on the game. They're beginning to have the game work in their favour. A lot of decisions, actually, as well, worked in their favour, which is ironic considering what happened then later on in 2009, where we got 4 penalty decisions disallowed. It was incredible, but pissed me off. 26th minute, Ferreira gives away a penalty for a handball. Off across. It was incredible. It was just bullshit. Ferreira goes up for the ball, is kind of arms a race as you go up for a header. I think the Barcelona player gets more height on it though, and Ferrer can't get up to it, but his hand kind of stays on his shoulder. Or the Barcelona player, the ball hits off the hand. Referee says that's a handball penalty. Gets a yellow card as well. Ronaldinho sticks into the bottom left corner. Check gets a hand to it, but still, Ronaldinho scores. What was a soft penalty decision, by the looks of it. It was very poor. Ferrer getting a yellow as well. Now it's 4-3 in aggregate. If Barcelona score again, we are losing the game on away goals. However, Joe Cole was doing everything. Joe Cole constantly kept sprinting down the right, causing trouble, and was absolutely terrific. After watching this, I've changed my perspective on Joe Cole. Joe Cole, I always thought, was kind of this tricky player that didn't really do things. This game, he was incredible. Outrunning, I think, he outran Ronaldinho at one stage with the ball at his feet. He was tearing Van Bronckhorst a new one. Kesman, he kept trying the run down the right-hand channel as he did for Fredrik Johnsen's goal. But offside, he kept getting offside. He was a kind of striker that kind of went to peel off the last defender, except in this case, it wasn't working for him. It was offside every single time now, and it was feeling like Chelsea were beginning to sit back, absorb the pressure. It worked. Ronaldinho had to come deep, like Hazard always had to do last season, to receive the ball and try to do something with it. But 38 minute, Barcelona get a free kick. Deco sends a bullet over a free kick to Cristiano Ronaldo, and Cech manages to send it over the bar. But then John Terry heads clear a long ball from it was a corner. Ball comes out. John Terry head clears the ball, which comes back in. It falls to Iniesta, gives it to Ronaldinho on the edge of the box, who fakes it once, shoots with sort of a toe poke outside of the foot. It kind of curls. He shoots on his right, and it kind of curls to the left and then into the right. I don't know how to describe it. It was like taking. He probably couldn't have done it with his left foot, what he did with his right foot here, even though it would be usually be easier to do it. He kind of curled it inwards towards the goal. It was just incredible. And the ball hits back the net. Cech stands rooted to the spot. It curls through all our defenders. It was absolutely incredible. The ball weaved its way through the Chelsea defence. It's now 4-4. And Barca are currently going through on away goals. But obviously Chelsea are going to take this. Chelsea are going to go for this game. They're going to try to get forward and hit Barca on the counter-attack. Lampard does slip in Joe Cole. At one stage, it doesn't work out. Ball kind of gets shot out of it. Ronaldinho, with the outside of the football, yet again, from the halfway line, puts anyone behind on the edge of the box. Takes a shot, kind of like if you've seen that goal by Lafante against Real Madrid, it was kind of like that. The ball's bouncing, he's being chased, he's in kind of behind. It's not a nice angle though. Shoots, doesn't dip. The shot doesn't dip. Doesn't work out for him. Van Bronckhorst intercepts a true ball from Cole. Cole wins it back in the 45th minute. He lets fly for outside the box. The ball hits the left-hand post. Wait, no, is it? No, the ball hits off the right-hand post from Cole's view. Duff pounces on the rebound, but no, yeah, hits off the back post. Like, hits off the left post. Yeah, I'm getting confused down here in my head. He goes to the back, kind of the back post. From where he would be standing, hits off the back left post, comes back to Damien Duff, pounces on the rebound, but Valdez stops it as it is hit straight at him. He wasn't particularly balanced, but Duff should have made it four. He kind of slipped. He should have gone near post. He didn't get the kind of connection he wants on it. And it is now going to half time. Chelsea 3, Barcelona 2. They're going ahead on away goals. And pretty much here, quick summary of the half. Kind of, Ronaldinho has pulled off several magical moments. He has pulled off several magical moments, had two goals. Joe Cole has been incredible. Nothing is getting past John Terry. Despite being 3-0 up after 20 minutes, we now need to score or we are out of the Champions League. Now moving on to the second half. So, straight out the blocks, Chelsea come in the second half, inspired by probably what John Terry and Jose Mourinho had to say to them at half time, "We came out looking to attack as we often played long and get the ball back as soon as possible." Basically, you would play it long, hope the ball kind of bounced out from there, get the ball back as soon as possible. When Barcelona won the ball, we got back as soon as possible. Joe Cole continued to fight for the win, giving it his all. Silvino, who I think just got sacked from Lyon a couple of months ago, went off of Van Bronckhorst, the correct move, but still Joe Cole was absolutely destroying them. Paulo Ferreira went off in the 51st minute on a yellow card against Ronaldinho, and also not having the best of games. On came Glenn Johnson, future Liverpool player. Paulo, not been the best he could have. He was struggling with Ronaldinho on the yellow. Glenn Johnson was a bit more faster, a bit more physical. And as I said, Ferreira was on the yellow. But continuing on with the first half, both sides struggled to put together any long sustained periods of possession and passing. The play constantly breaking down for one side. The other side would try something going in the attack. That would fail. And it would repeat. 57th minute though, after a striving run on the counter-attack by Lampard, his deflected shot goes there for a corner, which Duff takes. Lampard's header, saved by Valdes. And at this point, Chelsea are kind of like, Jesus Christ, what are we going to do? We're struggling, we're not getting through. 58th minute, Belletti, off the right-hand side, aiming for the left bottom corner. Tries his luck, Cech manages to force it out for the corner under heavy pressure. 60th minute, Eto sprints beyond Carvalho, one-on-one, with Cech coming in off the left-hand side, kind of coming in from the sideline as well. He isn't at the nicest angle, but then Carvalho, like you see Kovacic do all the time nowadays, sticks his foot in from behind and only 8 or so yards out from the goal, from the corner, puts it out for a corner. It's an incredible tackle, gets him behind, just about stops him. And thank God, because Eto back then was one of the best strikers in the world, and he could have put that away, despite John Terry tearing across, hoping to get a block in. Off the corner, Carlos Puyol gets a free header. And thank God, he kind of drives it downwards, he's looking for it to bounce on the line, but Cech manages to stop not only the shot, but also the ball in his hands. Incredible save. Straight after that, 61st minute, Cole cuts in off the left, lets fly outside of the box. Valdes forces it upwards. He doesn't get over the bar though. He's about 7 or 8 yards off his line. He's a good bit off his line. Falls to Kesman, offside again. Like Morata. Another brilliant moment of excellence from Joe Cole. Joe Cole, bang, hitting them hard. He's getting the shots in, he's getting the dribbles in, he's progressing the ball, he's getting the fouls, he's drawing the tackles, getting plays in the other team yellows. He was absolutely incredible, honestly. However, as I said earlier, this was a night where Chelsea did get a lot of decisions against them, which is a bit mysterious when you think of Chelsea versus Barcelona at the Bridge in the Champions League knockout stage. However, though, around the 68th minute, Chelsea did begin to get a couple more decisions, I kind of felt, as I saw a couple of them. Where, for example, one Xavi got yellow carded for diving. As of the 78th minute, Chelsea and Barcelona both had 11 shots. Barcelona had 7 on target. Chelsea had 8 on target. 78th minute, Kesman chips it back post. The ball kind of gets stuck in the box. Kesman chips it towards the back post. Johnson, though, I think he was surprised William Gallison get ahead to it in front of him. Ball falls and he takes a touch before shooting, but Barcelona get, I think, 3 players excluding Valdes, excluding the goalkeeper, who also is in the way, and the shot is blocked. The ball missing Gallas barely. I think that's what put him off. I think that's what put Johnson off. He was surprised to receive the ball, but you could now really tell Chelsea were beginning to increase the attacking focus and starting to chase the game. 72 minute, Iniesta dribbles into the box, goes near post. Cech pushes it onto the post, not the crossbar. Johnson dribbles into the box off the right hand side, takes a shot. Cech pushes onto the left post, but it hits off the post, going behind Cech, across the goal. Johnson fails to control it, and Eto misses an open goal after the ball had deflected off the goal. And Jesus Christ, he missed an absolute sitter, Eto, here. Such a lucky moment. 63rd minute, Chelsea finally get their breakthrough. Duff delivers from the corner. It finds the head of John Terry, who sends it towards the back post, where there were no Barcelona players on the back post. The cross came in from the... He was at the front post as well. He was at the front, from the front post, I would say a good 10 or 11, or 15, even a couple, he was a good bit out. I think he was 10, 12 yards out from goal at the front post, and he still gets all the power on it to send it towards the back post. And John Terry was at that moment Chelsea's top goal scorer in the Champions League that season. He'd scored 4 goals, Drogba had scored 3. Here's how the top goal scorer is. Bit humorous, obviously, when your centre back scoring most of your goals. 78th minute though, on comes Thiago, off goes Gudjonsson. Gudjonsson had been playing more of a midfielder role, and Thiago's more defensive, which we needed. Gudjonsson had sacrificed himself for the team, I kind of felt, in this game. He hadn't really played as a striker as he sometimes would. However, we kept pressing Barcelona's back four, so they keep passing it aimlessly, not moving it forward. When they eventually did beat the kind of 3 or 4 man press we would have, we would just sit deep and say, Barcelona, come at us. And maybe have a couple of the attackers running around trying to get the ball back. Barca had little penetration. By that I kind of mean they weren't kind of breaking the lines or anything. They weren't getting the ball past us, the defensive line. Our defensive line was deflecting everything away from us. Every single ball that came in went away. 84th minute, on comes Gulli, off comes Belletti. Barca make an attack-minded sub. But Belletti did cause trouble from long range a couple times, which I felt was something good to see. Obviously, that now we didn't have possibly one of the more attacking players, more of the players that had a better long shot on the team, which is probably what you don't want when you're trying to sit back. However, Chelsea do make their own defensive substitution, with Damien Duff coming off, Robert Huth coming on, centre-back for a left winger. There's no real way to describe how he played after this. We kind of just sat back and really hoped nothing bad would happen as well. On comes Maxi Lopez for Iniesta. A defensive sub by Jose, and Rijkaard maybe hoping for something different off Maxi Lopez, who did score against us in the first leg. But eventually the whistle blows and Chelsea are now through to the Champions League quarterfinal after a high intensity 4-2 victory against Barcelona at home. We've done it. We were true. We'd done it. We would play Bayern in the quarterfinals, a game which I will be hopefully reviewing next time. I have so far done 60 minutes of the first leg of the Bayern-Chelsea game at home in the first leg. But I don't want to talk about Bayern Munich now. I want to talk about Barcelona game now. I enjoyed watching this game very much. It was a very high-intensity game, possibly the best Chelsea side of all time. And seeing legends you would often hear about play on the big stage and be able to see them, see how they played, actually not be able to come up with your own opinions. Such as Joe Cole. Joe Cole, he played his heart out. He ripped Van Bronckhorst to shreds in the first half and didn't give Silvinho an easy time as well in the second half. His dribbling, speed and shooting were all standard aspects of his game. Kesman was offside more than Morata, and while he was offside a lot, I couldn't really see why Chelsea sold him. I thought he was a good backup striker, but maybe, obviously we did bring back Crespo that summer. Maybe we have to get rid of Kesman there. I could see that, but Gudjonsson scored a fabulous goal and worked hard in a deeper role than he would usually play. As well, Duff, I thought, had a quiet game, really, should have scored 2 goals. However, Duff isn't that kind of player who is going to dribble past 3 players and put in the bottom corner. He's a kind of player that when you set up to shoot a good, when you give him a good chance, or when he's given a good chance to create something, he's going to create it or finish it off. Lampard, great at winning the ball high up the pitch and either playing it in behind like he did for the first goal or running with the ball further up the pitch. Makelele was quiet like he was supposed to be, like Makelele is, did have a nice series of play near the end where he kind of beat two Barcelona players, played onto Lampard, who ran it into the corner. Lampard, as well, his late man run into, not his late man run into the box, but his run into the box to follow Joe Cole's shot as well, make it to me no surprise that the guy scored 19 goals that season from midfield. And also came second for the Ballon d'Or that year. In 2005. Jeez. Galas, though, a very competent and strong defender who put no foot wrong for me that night. Ferreira struggled with Ronaldinho. You can really give him a pass on that. Ronaldinho is one of the best players in the world. He gave away what shouldn't have been a penalty, though. That was bullshit. His hand kind of like, yet again, Barcelona jumps up. He tries to get in on it. He can't really jump up, though. He's kind of stuck underneath the Barca player. His hand, though, is against the Barcelona player's shoulder. The ball hits off the hand. It was bullshit. Penalty given for that. Like, you know, honestly, back then, that's not a handball. Terry dominated any cross, any long ball that came his way, and was an imposing central defender. And having never watched him with my kind of current view and way of watching football, where I kind of like actually looking a bit more, looking, analysing, saying that was a good thing by him, that was a bad thing by him. I wouldn't have done that back when I was younger, watching John Terry. I would have gone, yes, we scored, or no, we conceded, or oh, we nearly scored. Like, that wouldn't have been my way of thinking back then. I thought he was outstanding and would do no wrong in the modern game. I think John Terry would actually be very good still today. Cavalier, though, probably a player who would have done much, who would actually do very well in the modern game today, I thought. Made one excellent last-ditch tackle to deny Eto'o a golden opportunity. Was clearly a superb centre-back who helped with his pace to compensate for John Terry's lack of pace. Peter Cech was fabulous, won us the game that night, making several big saves, and clearly back then possibly one of the world's, if not the world's, best goalkeepers. And actually reminds me how good he was. As well, thinking back to like the Bayern game, he was incredible in that game. In the final, and as well, this game he was incredibly good as well. Just for me, had Kepa or even Courtois played, we would have lost, most likely. This was not the Czech of Arsenal. This was an incredible world-class Jack who was absolutely incredible. Jose Mourinho talked the tactics right. He kind of went, okay, we have to start Barcelona having their passing game. We have to hit them on the break. We don't have the ability to hit it long without Drogba. And we aren't really good at breaking teams down who sit back of this level. We got to hit them on the counter-attack and we got to rip them to shreds. We got to try and limit Ronaldinho. We got to get physical with them. We have to try and play the English way against these guys. We did, and we dominated them. Watching this game, though, I just want to say, watching this game, gave me a good idea of the 0-4-5 team I saw. Very good team. How they played, blitzing teams on the counter, sitting deep and absorbing pressure. Next, though, I'll be reviewing Chelsea vs. Bayern first leg at the Bridge, which Drogba played, so I can talk about my favourite Chelsea player of all time. Lampard All the Bloody Way podcast is because I am backing Lampard All the Bloody Way as a manager, but he was not my favourite Chelsea player. Drogba was my favourite Chelsea player. He was absolutely incredible. Chelsea won that game 4-2 as well. So Chelsea 4-2 at home was a bit of a reoccurrence in the Champions League, as you could see there. But now on to the recent news. So before I get into the recent news, I do want to say, if you are looking to watch games, old games, this game I watched on a site called Football Yet. There's no sponsorship, nothing like that. I'm just trying to help you out here if you're looking for a place to watch old matches or even recent matches. Football, yeah. Football with I and A at the end of it. You do have to create an account. It's free. Nothing dodgy. Some of the games are in English. Some of the games, like the Chelsea Bayern game I'm currently watching to review to you in the next podcast in the beginning of next week, is in Russian. So, obviously, if you do want to kind of like watch these games, some of them, I will warn you, are not in English. However, into the news now. Pedro, he is set to leave Chelsea at the end of the season, according to reports. This is the first report. Really no surprise here. The Spaniard has scarcely played this season. He's near 33 years old. Can't deliver the goods no more on a consistent basis. The club are not alright, not to push for him to remain at the club, and we would be freeing up a large amount in our wage bill. So, since joining us with £90 million as well, in 2015, he has been not the most productive. Scoring 43, assisting 28 in 201 games. So 0.35 goals and assists per game. A goal every 5 games. Honestly, that's not the best output, but he always did do his defensive shift. But now, for me, it's time to go. So, moving on now to the first ingoing report of a transfer to Chelsea, and that is Declan Rice. From third to first, Grealish, Rice, Terry Henry, the most hated by Irish football fans. Grealish, selling off Grealish, never played for the Irish first team, but played 6 times for the under-21s and scored a goal. Really, when you play for the under-21s, that means you play for the first team. Like, that was annoying. But then Rice, he played twice for the Irish first team and even won man of the match in a postseason friendly versus the United States. And Grealish and Rice both left to join the English national team. Disgraces, in my opinion. Disgraces, because you don't do that. You just don't leave your national team. Your national team is something you stay with. It is not something you decide. And the statement said, it is better for my career to play for England. How is it better for your career? You're homegrown anyway, in England. You're not considered a foreign player, so the clubs will still want you. And your international career is playing for your country. England is your country, but you have decided at 14 to play for Ireland. And now you've gone. I thought that's absolutely incredible. Your national team, you stay with. Your club, you can leave. I think you can leave your club personally. That's something that's come very common. Your national team, though, you do not leave your national team, in my opinion. Unless you have good reason. And good reason be kind of a thing. Like Costa, I thought Costa was a bit of a, okay, that's a bit kind of weird there. Costa left because he didn't feel they had enough faith in him. And they wanted Fred to set up front. In which case, yes, I would get out of there immediately because Diogo Costa, Fred, like for the Brazilian national team, absolutely incredible. I don't know why. And Henry, he's the first one. Well, he handballed it in a build-up to a goal, very much intentionally, that knocked Ireland out of the World Cup qualifiers for the 2010 World Cup. He's probably he is number one for a reason. Irish people do not like this guy for what he did to our golden generation. Richard Duff's, Richard Roy, Robbie Keane's, John O'Shea's, your Glenn Whelan's. I don't think Stephen Ireland would have left then because he tried to get out of international duty, and I don't think the Irish team were very happy with him. But Declan Rice is a player I don't want at Chelsea. He's a bad player. I think he's a good player. I think Jack Noyce is going to be a very good player when he gets older. However, I'd like him to become the next Jack Bodwell because of how he set up the Ra in an interview when he was 14, 15. When he was talking about playing the English team for the under-21s for Ireland, or the under-16s. Like, I don't want to really be judgmental here because he is probably the better footballer than I'll ever be, but you don't go saying up the Ra and then joining the English national team, alright? But we saw this guy as the perfect heir to Glenn Whelan or James McCarthy for the boys in green, for the national team, and he gives us up for England after playing twice for Ireland. He is a good player. He has good attributes. He is very good defensively. He will make lots of tackles and interceptions and break up the play. He's an alright pass with the ball to maybe deliver the ball to a better player like a Kovacic to get the ball more for the pitch and kind of be able to evade the pressure. But a hefty price tag and an already deep hatred of him by myself. So, no thanks, but I'd rather Sumari or Partey or even giving someone like an Ampadu or Chalobah a chance. And as well, I also want to say, this guy's guy that went out and raced a mount during the quarantine, when he had been near Arteta the previous week, bad influence. I don't want him anywhere near this club. Honestly, this is me 100% saying, I do not want Declan Rice at Chelsea. I want Declan Rice to join Sunderland, like Jack Rodwell did, and end up in 5 years' time on a free, with no clubs wanting him. Alright, Chilwell is the third report though. Chilwell is apparently going to cost Chelsea too much. Now this looks like we are not signing Chilwell, as Leicester are apparently looking for the Harry Maguire levels of money. For me, Chilwell, he's not the level we want at Chelsea right now. He fades in big games. He isn't the best attacking and crossing defensively. He isn't a very outstanding player. Looking at his stats, I've always said a Grimaldo, a Tevez, much, much better options and cheaper options than Chilwell. Much more attacking, much more versatile, I think. And we can't be just signing Chilwell because he's English. That's something I want to say right now. I don't want Chelsea just signing players because they're English. I want Chelsea to sign players because they're world class, like your Sanchos, like your, let's see, any other good players, because I'm going to link to this somewhere. Off the top of my head, that are English, but still. Chilwell, we got better options. We got cheaper options. That is why I don't want to see him at this club. I don't want to see him join. Moving on out to the fourth option. Lautaro Martinez, who, while Chilwell is a player I wouldn't pay £80 million for, it. Lautaro Martinez is a player I would 100% pay £80 million for. Lautaro Martinez is a player I have wanted Chelsea to sign for several months now. Back on, I want to tell you how much struggling around that time. People were like, okay, who should we sign? All the short-term people kind of saying, which I was one of them, saying, okay, who should we sign in the January transfer window? I was kind of saying, we should go for Lautaro Martinez. A good young striker, I think he could do well. He looks like an Aguero kind of player we could sign. And I desperately want to see the Argentine striker put on a Chelsea shirt. Reports saying we are very interested in signing him. This guy is an elite striker. And if we don't sign Sancho this summer, and we sign this guy, I will actually be just as happy, because I really, really like this guy. He's only 22 years of age. He can drop deep and link up play, play in a two preferably, but he can also play as a lone striker. He is more though, and a lone striker, he doesn't score as many goals as a lone striker. He's a lot more of a link up player as a lone striker and more of a presser. He has an uncanny resemblance to Aguero. Small, agile, great finisher, good header for their size, very good footballers, as well as being very good strikers, if you understand what I mean by that, as in they're good at football with their feet, but they're also a very good striker. By that I mean, they've got the footballing ability, and they've got the professional footballing, tactical knowledge ability, and positional ability, the ability to play in a position to a very high level. As well, they're Argentinian. So this season, Martinez has scored 5 in his 6 Champions League games. 1 versus Barca, 2 versus Dortmund. In 3 goals and 4 appearances against Barcelona and Dortmund. It's pretty good, I'm just going to say right now. That is pretty promising. 16 goals and 4 assists in all competitions in 31 games. A goal and assist every 122 minutes. He has scored against Juve, Napoli and Atalanta in the league. He's good from the penalty spot, which we might need next summer if we're not playing Jorginho. And with Chelsea having many, many players that Inter Milan are interested in, your Alonso, your Moses, your Emerson, possibly we can even ship Rudiger off to them if they that really comes to it. We could very well get him for £60-70 million this summer instead of his £94 million release clause. And I think if we sign Moussa Dembélé, we're telling Tammy Abraham, here's a striker that's just like you, in a way. They're very similar strikers, I find. Dembélé and Tammy, I kind of feel they're very similar. They're kind of like, they're not different profiles, I find, of striker. Like, you look at Anelka and you look at Drogba. Quick man who came behind. Then you've got the big target man kind of guy who could burst through players, beat anyone aerially. That's kind of something that we are having here. You're Anelka, Drogba. I see Lautaro Martinez as the Anelka to Drogba, and Drogba being Tammy Abraham. It's perfect. We could play the two of them in a 4-1-2-1-2 formation in a diamond midfield. We could play Martinez at second striker in a 4-4-1-1. In Mason Mount's current position, allow Mason Mount maybe to push back a little bit and play in more of a comfortable position for him, where he's not pressing points as highly, he's not getting as much space. And for me, this would encourage Tammy Abraham to sign a contract more than Dembele. Dembele is a bit too similar. Tammy Abraham going looking at that guy. Here's another lone striker coming in who I don't think the club are signing to play with me. Tam Martinez, this is a player the club is signing to play with you. Trust me when I say that. This is a player who is not going to be taking your place in the first team, I feel. But we'll fill in for you perfectly when you're injured, when you're tired. We can play one of them. He can play, like, Tam Martinez can play all across the front line, I believe. He'd be the perfect signing this summer for Chelsea as a backup striker. That's it. We've got you. Hope you did enjoy this podcast. Hope you did enjoy the Barcelona versus Chelsea, okay, 4-2 victory at Stamford Bridge review, kind of match review, talk about it and all. I hope you did enjoy that. Please do respond to my tweet with any points you want to make, any criticism. Criticism obviously helps me improve, helps the content be better, and also helps you and find this more entertaining, obviously find it more enjoying. Or that has been me for today. Hope you did enjoy, and I will see you at the beginning of next week for the Bayern Chelsea 2005 match review first leg. See you then.